This is St. Joseph's Workshop on Relevant Radio and relevantradio.com.
St. Joseph had almost no amazing miracles happen to him. Now, I know you're saying, wait, Father. He was involved in the most momentous events of history. The incarnation, birth of Jesus, and the life of Jesus in Nazareth. He did have some pretty neat things in his life. He had angels appearing to him four times, actually, in dreams. If you notice, it's interesting to me that St. Joseph experienced an angel coming to him in dreams rather than seeing him while he was awake, for example, the way Mary did or the way that Zechariah did in Scripture. For Joseph, he is communicated to by through dreams. And it's a more humble form of communication than maybe some awe-inspiring angel appearing before you as Zechariah experienced and as Mary experienced. In fact, one that you might wake up and think, well, I mean, I think that's what the angel said to me. I think I better do that, right? Apparently it was clear enough because every time an angel appeared to St. Joseph, he got up and he did it. It's the hallmark trait of St. Joseph, his obedience, his prompt obedience, doing what the Lord said to him through the angels. What's interesting to me is that these are largely the major miracles that Joseph experienced. Yeah, it's true. He was also present with our Blessed Mother for the virgin birth. That's amazing, right? but when you look at, you know, his life, Scripture doesn't tell us any other miracles in his life. There are we call them apocryphal writings. They almost call them fan fiction of Christian writings. They're apocryphal writings, legends from, you know, centuries after Christ that describe many miracles that Jesus performed. For example, creating little birds out of clay, striking a child dead and then bringing him back to life. These are legends that are there, and Joseph's witnessing these things. But these are not canon of our Scripture. We don't believe that these things actually happened. And they're not consistent with the rest of Scripture, right? I mean, they don't represent a Jesus the way that Scriptures represent. So I think it's important here to recognize kind of what I'm trying to point out is that Joseph lived a life that largely had many ordinary experiences and not a lot of extraordinary miracles happening. Now, I find that important. I've been reflecting on this a lot recently in my own life for various reasons, but I find this important because of what we read in 2 Kings today, or what we heard proclaimed in 2 Kings inside of Holy Mass. We heard Naaman. A commander, an army commander, an Aramean from the north, right? So north of Jerusalem, a modern-day Syria, Aleppo, practically. Naaman comes down with leprosy, and he's very honored and esteemed, Scripture says, by his master, the king. And so his king tells him, you need to go off, right? Well, actually, it's a little girl. Right, a slave from Israel that was there inside of their retinue or entourage, that says, there's a prophet in Israel that can help you out. There's a prophet in Israel. So Naaman's lord tells him to go off and says, go see the king of Israel, find this prophet, and get yourself healed because this isn't going to work, right? And this isn't right that you should suffer this, but you need to get healing because nobody here can heal you of this leprosy. Eventually, Naaman finds his way to the prophet Elisha. And Elisha, keeping the laws of purity and keeping the laws of ritual cleanliness, won't have contact with Naaman. They're separated by a door, but he gives him directions on how he can be healed from his leprosy. And he says to him, go down to the River Jordan, wash yourself seven times, and that will be enough. That will be enough, and you'll be cured from your leprosy. Now, it sounds like a simple solution, and it was so simple that Naaman goes away angry. Naaman, indignant probably. This is crazy. I could have found a much better solution somewhere else. Don't we have prophets up where I come from that would give me a much more unique situation, maybe even perform a miracle before me, do something really extraordinary, some incredible penance that I'm called to do? Naaman almost walks away, but his servants, they're the ones who recognize, wait a second. This is a very simple thing to do. Shouldn't you just do this? I mean, what can it hurt? It's just washing seven. If he had told you to do something, his servants tell him, if the prophet had told you to do something incredible and really, really amazing, wouldn't you have done it? Well, now he's asking you to do something very simple. Just do it. And let's see if it works. And he does. And he's cleansed. He's purified. And he goes back home. And not only that, I mean, I think this scripture passage concludes in a very, very important way, because doesn't only lead to the healing of Naaman, but it leads to his recognition that the prophet Elisha is worshiping the one true God, that the people of Israel have the one true God in their midst. It leads him to a profession of what's true and what's good and what's beautiful and the authentic Lord of the universe. I mean, that's why occasionally we will have these incredible healings. It's why God will work in that way. But notice how it happens in Naaman's life. It happens by him being faithful and obedient to small, ordinary things, to ordinary tasks that were placed before him. And it's through those tasks that he comes to healing, but even more importantly, as I said, is recognition of who's behind that healing, of God himself. You and I so oftentimes look for extraordinary solutions to our problems. We look around for miracles. We look around for something amazing to happen out there. We look around for a magical solution to the mess of my life that I've made or the problems and struggles that I'm going through. When in fact, so often, what the Lord wants us to do is to do faithfully the little things that he's placed before us. The ordinary responsibilities of our lives done with great love. This is, to me, one of the qualities of Saint Joseph, not just to me, I should say, this is what so many saints throughout the last 2,000 years have reflected upon. You look at Saint Francis de Sales, you look at Saint Therese of Lisieux, you look at Saint Joseph Morello, you look at Saint Teresa of Avila, all of the great devotees of Saint Joseph. They recognize that here's a man that didn't need to see amazing miracles. Here's a man that didn't necessarily need to have extraordinary things happening to him in his life, because he was a man of faith and he was a man of prompt obedience. He was a man that did what was asked of him, whether it was an amazing, really, really important task like taking his family to Egypt to protect them from King Herod, who was seeking the life of Jesus, or whether it was simply providing on a day-by-day basis for his family back in Nazareth. We see Joseph faithfully fulfilling his duties and obligations as a Jew and as the father, earthly father of Jesus and the husband of Mary. I think where that leaves us is the challenge to look at our lives and say how often we look to extraordinary experiences, how often we cry out to God for some immediate quick fix to our problems through divine intervention that is magnificent and out of this world and something beyond our normal human experience, when in fact God can work through the ordinary experiences of our lives. In fact, more often than not, God is inviting us to discover him in the small moments of our lives, in the relationships that he has allowed, in the joys and also the sorrows that we experience, in the sufferings and trials, as well as the blessings that he pours down upon us and allows in our life. If we can work to, rather than try and seek out something extraordinary, but instead, like Naaman, to be obedient, even when it seems like it's too simple, like it's too ordinary, and like Saint Joseph, to be content if God is revealing things to us in more subtle ways, if God is revealing them to us through ordinary circumstances. But no matter the case, to be obedient in all circumstances. I always love being with you. Thanks for joining me here in St. Joseph's Workshop. Until tomorrow, stay fast to the faith, hold fast to the faith, love the Lord, keep fulfilling your Lenten resolutions, and I'll be back again with you in 23 hours. Until tomorrow, make sure and stay tuned for the Family Rosary across America. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.